Commissioner Tim Baum calling Bellevue Human Services meeting May 3rd, 2022 into order. Gonna do roll call. Commissioner Mansfield?
Here.
Commissioner Phan?
Here.
Commissioner Singh?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you. And Chair Piper and Vice Chair Mirfez are excused this evening. Commissioner Mercer has resigned. The decision was very difficult for her, so she would like to attend a future meeting that is in person to say farewell sometime. And moving on to minutes. Oh, we have a temporary suspension of the bylaws. I don't have that script, but due to COVID-19 and rules, we will be conducting our meetings virtually. So that's it. Thank you. Any staff have anything else to add to that? Sorry, I don't have that script for that we usually have. Okay.
My fault.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I used to read it a lot, so I think I remember it, but okay, and then we're going to move on to the next item in our agenda, which is approval of minutes. So can I get a motion to approve Human Services Commission minutes for April 5th, 2022?
Ted Mansfield, so moved.
Thank you. Second?
Commissioner Phan, second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays?
Aye.
Any nays? All right, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Motion to approve the minutes from April 17th, every April 7th.
That was your training.
Okay.
Ted Mansfield, so moved.
Thank you. Second?
Commissioner Phan, second.
Great. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any nays?
Aye.
Sorry, I'm going to that too fast, but any nays, hearing none, the motion is to approve the minutes are approved. Thank you. Any written communications today? Okay. Christy is saying no written communications for today's meeting. And any communications from our city council, community council, boards and commissions? It looks like the deputy mayor is unable to join us this evening. So there will be no reports. And any staff and commissioner reports? Let's start with commissioners. Any commissioner reports? Okay. Hearing none, any staff reports?
Yes, I'm very excited to report that at our next meeting, we will have a new city staff member. So Asma Hamed has accepted an offer to join us, and her first day with the city will be on May 16th. So her second day on the job will be at a commission meeting. And so she'll be joining us from the United Way of King County, where she has been working with BIPOC organizations and really doing some exciting work there to further equity. And we're excited to be able to have her come aboard very shortly.
Thank you, Leslie, and a lot of the fresh blood that we have, new blood, getting on this commission in the last few months, actually, even. Okay. And information, we're going to go to our next item, information for the commission, and I will turn it over to Christy for the first item. You're muted, Christy.
Leslie, did you want to share the PowerPoint since you'll be walking through a portion of it? Great. So the next item is to debrief the equity training. And so I know that not everybody has had the opportunity to attend the training because there is an additional one on May 11th. But we just wanted to have an opportunity before we started reviewing applications to start some debrief around this. So the first question is just really what learnings from the presentation, homework, and exercise should the commission carry with them and consider when reviewing and discussing applications? And then we'll talk about the score and review next. So I'll open it up for commissioners to make comments.
And I just liked that it was pointed out the implicit bias and that you should always be aware of it anyways, but that when you're doing things like this, like looking at organizations and stuff, that you have to continually remind yourself that there, you know, you do have certain biases. And I've done a couple of the tests, and it is really interesting just reading the questions and then just like putting things in different categories. I found myself being like very empathetic toward Native Americans, which I mean, why wouldn't you be? But also like, that's such a strange, I wouldn't have thought of it like that. But yeah, it's been interesting. It's been an interesting ride here at the Fan household. We've been doing those a lot. It's like a party favor now.
That's great. Thank you for sharing. Other people's takeaways?
This is Tim Ma. I think that the rubric that was highlighted in equity training was actually pretty good. It kind of answered a lot of questions. We haven't previously used rubrics when we talked about stuff in our application review, but we kind of had like a general look at like certain aspects, like the financials, the how many people serve, things like that, but not really a scoring rubric. So I actually think that it might be a useful tool to kind of go through that rubric so that it's like a very standard thing, because the questions that the rubric, that example or template that they gave us as an example, seemed to hit things that I thought were also important, or I felt I shared the same values as what they were asking about. So it might be something that we might try to do going through the applications this round.
Yeah, I really like the rubric. It kind of helps you keep that idea in mind as you're going through them about underrepresented populations, because when you're going through all the applications, you do kind of tend to start to miss some of that. You start focusing on the financials and, you know, what experience do they have? Are you getting the typical bang for the buck that we've talked about in the past that might not be so important? And to remember that smaller organizations need additional funding in areas of staffing and overhead, whereas larger organizations have a lot more funding options in that regard, typically.
Great. Thank you, Ted.
So,
Christy? Oh, sorry. Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah. So rubric was very helpful in scoring, and how this often we used at the work also, but it was the other thing I took back from the training is how we are unknowingly biased to certain things, which never came into my mind. And I learned in the training during the exercise, and it was a lot of eye opening for me, and how to look, differentiate between the big organizations and the smaller one. That's another point. And it was a valuable training.
Great. Thank you, Jimmy.
So one thing I noticed was, unlike past trainings, this one was a little more general regarding kind of equitable grant making. And so I think there were some things that I could see would be highly relevant reviewing, you know, city applications, and there might be other items that may have been of interest, but maybe not feel like is relevant for this application review process. But so it was interesting then while listening to that is to think about what different considerations has to be taken as being kind of public funders versus being a private foundation.
Thank you, Leslie. So I know we did touch on the scoring rubric as well, and I heard a lot of people talk about how they did find that an effective tool. Leslie, I know you were looking into that with legal. Have we gotten any advice on if we're able to use that tool? And I apologize if you told me that.
Yeah. No, I think we got the thumbs up that if you wanted to utilize that tool, and I think that's probably a question. I think my understanding is that Bellevue commissions haven't traditionally scored applications. I think there are a couple different ways to use a tool like that. You can score, or you can, as I think I heard someone allude to, is maybe frequently going back to those questions to read to kind of help inform. Commissioner Mansfield, I think that's what I heard you say was as a good reminder point. And so that would be a question, would be, do you want to formally use it and score, or is it just a great something to have there that you refer to and ask yourself questions?
This is Commissioner Ma. My opinion on the rubric is that we do soft scoring as in not a hard score where we use that to ultimately determine any sort of decision, but like what Commissioner Mansfield alluded to, probably, you know, using that rubric at the very least, probably giving a score, I think it helps to give it a score, but using the rubric more as a way of making sure that we're discussing the concerns that we have as commission to, regarding like the needs update or whatever it might be, whatever we might want to make decisions on. So that would be my recommendation, using the rubric, scoring it, but using it kind of as a soft scoring method versus something very, very hard to find. Or for any decision making.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a great tool to help inform our decision making, and to remind us to keep our mind open and on those topics about equity.
I agree. It'd be a great way to kind of push those, elevate the ones at the beginning to the forefront, right, as they're going on through the process, but not using it as like a be-all, end-all.
I mean, thinking back to the equity training, I think there's other ways that I think that we've actually been discussing. We have tried to specifically try to fund smaller organizations in this commission. That has been something that we've presented to staff as something that we want to pursue. And I myself had a personal interest and I brought it to the commission to, usually we do a cost of living or a cost of adjustment. And rather than automatic cost of adjustment for all organizations that we funded in the past, which kind of biases the organizations that we're already familiar with, to not automatically do a CODA or a cost of living adjustment, and using whatever that we have to be able to leverage and make changes to where we think the needs are, or try to distribute it more equitably. I mean, that was my personal recommendation or thought.
Just one observation, Commissioner Ma. At a previous meeting, the commission had talked about different ways to address equity in funding, and one of the conclusions that they reached was that going into this next review round that we were not going to start the conversation with a consideration of how much an agency had been previously funded so as to not bias our recommendations. I appreciate the idea, and I do recall you bringing that before. I think that idea might have been based upon considering their prior funding levels, and the commission had decided not to consider prior funding levels, to exclude that from the conversation, at least in the beginning.
I think I'm okay with that. I was not present at that meeting, unfortunately. I might have missed it.
Yep.
But it makes sense. But, you know, when we get applications, a lot of the same programs are being, you know, they're exact same programs as they were. They're just being continued. And, you know, the need is still out there. It's a successful program. While we don't discuss it, it's a very, when we get to the phase of where we put the dollars, which is usually not the first phase of our discussions, I do think it might be useful to, I'm not sure how you guys discussed it, but, or how we would not talk about those renewing programs exactly the whole time without discussing it.
I don't know if it's not discussed as much as, I mean, I think you're right, as you're reviewing for those who have been around for a while, you know who we funded. And as you review applications, you'll see the amounts of money that they have applied to in the past. But the idea was that we are starting with that the commission had made a decision in March to prioritize those needs listed in the needs update. And in order to keep those as the priorities, there was a decision made to determine amounts of funding based upon programs that met those priority areas. So we'll talk about it. I mean, this is something different, so we'll work through it as we go through the process, but that is, that was the thinking.
Great. Well, that was a great conversation that kind of leads into a future agenda item. Is there any additional comments that people have around the equity program or equity training and how we can make sure that we're consciously integrating the knowledge that we gained into our funding cycle? Okay, I will take the silence as everybody has shared their thoughts. And of course, this conversation is always open. So as we're going through the process, I know that when you start reviewing applications, especially Angela and Jimmy, for the two of you that are, this is your first funding cycle, there'll be lots of opportunities to have these conversations and to revisit this. So I will hand it back to Tim.
All right, thanks, Christy. The next item is in the agenda is the 2023-2024 Human Services Fund applicant overview, and I will be giving it to Leslie to discuss that.
Great, thank you. So just wanted to start off by just reviewing the mutual commitments that were adopted at the March 1st meeting. I know Jimmy and I were, neither of us were here, so it'll be a good review for those of you who were here and for those of us who weren't. Their decision was made that commissioners would read the Human Services Needs Update to inform recommendations. All commissioners committed to reading all applications and all meeting materials in advance of each of our meetings, and that commissioners committed to meeting at least one time with their partner outside the regular meeting schedule to review assigned applications on a more in-depth basis. Hopefully that is familiar to everyone. Let's go. All right. So we had 136 program applications from 72 agencies come in. And if that seems like a particularly high number for those of you who've been around for a while, it is a significant jump. Last 2 years ago, there were 106 applications, 100 of which were determined to be qualified to be considered. We are in the midst of doing that review process right now to see which programs qualify, but we are looking at a significant increase in the number of applications and over $10 million in asks. And you will see that goal area number one, where our shelter program sits, is where about half of the money is requested. So supportive relationships with families, neighborhoods, and communities, that ranges from 211 to mentoring programs to legal assistance, so a wide range of supportive programs. Safe haven includes domestic violence and sexual assault, as well as human trafficking, one of our new applications this year. Healthcare to be physically and mentally fit as possible. And then our education and job skills to lead an independent life. Those include some child care programs that allow parents to pursue education and employment. So that is the broad overview. So we had three teams that were established. Samara and Ted, Ben and Angela, and Tim and Jimmy. Let me go ahead and just share. I'm going to stop sharing and then just share a different. I've created a document that sounds like a little different than what you've had in the past as your initial summary document. So I want to go ahead. And this will be, I'll be emailing this out to you tomorrow. We need to do just one more quality check before we send it out. But does everyone see this Excel spreadsheet? Thank you.
Could you maybe zoom it in a little bit more, Leslie?
Yes, thank you. Oh, you know what? It's on my, you know what? I'm going to move it. If I move it over. Is that better?
No. It just is a lot of the blank Excel that we're able to see right now.
Oh, weird. Okay. I just...
We can see it a little bit on the left. Yeah. So I think if you go down to the bottom on your left, right scroll bar and push it all the way back to the left, first of all.
And that's what's weird. It is.
Oh, it looks like it's all the way to the right.
Yeah. That's why I was confused when you said that. I went, okay. I had it on a really big, my big monitor, and so I tried moving it.
Can you zoom in on the bottom right corner? There's like a zoom. Is that 100% right now? If you can bring it to like 200%.
Okay. I must not be seeing what you all are seeing.
I think, Leslie, you may need to unshare it and reshare it. Sometimes it gets stuck.
Yep. I think, thank you.
All the Zoom trial and errors that we do.
I know, you'd think, oh, is this our first meeting? Okay, what are you seeing now?
Now it's really zoomed in.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
That's perfect, right there.
Okay, all right. So, all righty. Oh, this is so funny. Okay, I think there are gremlins in this Excel spreadsheet, I've decided. So this, so what you're seeing here is, these applications are sorted by goal area, and you'll see the goal area, the agency, the program name, the amount of the request, and then I've pulled out the program description summary from each application, and put it on here. And so what this does is it gives you a single document that you'll be able to read through and quickly understand, at least at a high level, what programs and what they're doing to serve the community. And then there's assignments for each of the teams. So you'll notice that we've actually divided up goal area one into three parts. So we have shelter, outreach, and homelessness housing. So those, I think there are 15 applications. That's where $3 million is. So that's one team. And then we have housing stability services with Ben and Angela, and then basic needs and food for Tim and Jimmy. And then goal area two is divided into two sections. We have kind of a general community support, where there are programs that kind of serve the community at large, and we're created for that purpose. And then we have some more specific services that were created for either individuals that have disabilities or are culturally specific groups. And then, and it just kind of works its way through. And so, like I said, we'll send this document to you so you can take a look at that. We do want to take a moment. Now I need to reshare to get back. Reviewing the applications. One moment. Okay, Q. And I just realized, Christy will, I realized when I had the choice of all the things I could share that I had not actually fully shared the screen yet. So everyone will have, is going to be receiving tomorrow a login. First, you'll need to kind of create a password, and then you're going to have login rights to the portal where all the applications you can review online. And Christy's going to walk us through that in just a moment. But I also want to let you know that you have the option to request printed copies of the applications. And there's two ways you could go about that. You could either say, I want them printed out for all. And just to let you know, that is what Christy and I are both doing. I really like to write my notes on paper. And so for me, that's what works really well. But I know for others, the online portal actually allows you to, put your notes right there and your comments. And so that might work better, or you might want to have the option to do both. So think about that and just let me know if you want printed copies or not. And then, Christy, I will stop sharing so you can share the portal.
Great. Sorry for all the screen changes. We tried to figure out the best way to do this. And not being in person, there is a little bit more barriers bouncing back and forth. So you will be sent a login. It will be your email, and it will be a link that you'll link into. And then it will have you set your password. So it's a very simple to do process. I did it yesterday. So it's fresh on my mind. And I actually, last funding cycle, this is the only way that I reviewed applications. And I told Leslie, I'm going back and forth a little bit. Previously, it always had been in paper. I have a lot of notes from agencies I met with, because I've met with a lot of different agencies this funding cycle. So I'm worried about not having the paper applications and attaching them, but this does work really well. So you can see there's a list of all of the applications and reviewing. Leslie and I selected that we were going to review HopeLink Food. Let's see if this will move like that. I might have to go one page by one page. So hold on. I had this all set up, but apparently moving from the office to home, it reset all of this stuff. Okay, so you click review. Pretty self-explanatory. And then here you'll see there's two different dropdowns. So there's the narrative and the agency profile. So we'll start with the application narrative. It starts out with the program that you're funding, the cities they're asking for, and how much they received in 2021 and how much they're requesting in 2023. And so, Tim, as you were talking, this information is available. It's not something that we're not planning on including. And as we had the conversation at a previous meeting, we just weren't going to have the amount listed on the funding recommendation spreadsheet we've used in the past. And then it talks about what their actual budget was in 2021 and what their projected budget is for 2023. I do expect to see a drop in agencies over because of extra COVID funding coming in, depending on what kind of service they provide. So typically this would be a, why is there a $2 million decrease in funding? COVID had brought a lot of funding in because there was such a different need in our community and increased. And then the next is the program information. So this is the information that Leslie so graciously took and put onto that spreadsheet to give us a really great tool to use as we're reviewing applications to be like, okay, am I remembering this program right? Because I know going back and forth between all the screens, sometimes that is difficult. And then contact information, not really relevant for you guys, but we do use it. And then the description. So the program, what needs are being addressed, challenges and issues of the population that they're serving. And then the next is the proposed program. So what are the services that they're providing? How and who will be delivering these services? And then who will be served by the program? How do the clients hear about the services and that will be provided? And then the program impact, and that is how the organization works to address the disparities in our community and changes or impacts as a result of the efforts and the services they provide. And then outcomes. So I'm skimming through this really fast. I don't expect anybody to retain any information. The next is just around accessibility. We asked about BIPOC staff, and it is, you will notice, it is in a range. So when agencies were asked this question, there's a range of 0 to 25, 26 to 50, 51 to 75, and 76 to 100. So you will notice that it is a range. We asked about ADA accessibility, about location of their services. So you can see if they're located in Bellevue. The transportation accessibility, if it's close to public transportation and people without vehicles are able to access services, accommodating client schedules. Again, this is also a drop down where, or a checkbox where they say like, we provide evening on demand / same and or same day. So it is, you will notice those answers are the same. The accessible in terms of language, a lot of these, as we redid the application two cycles ago, we've changed a lot of them into kind of what do the commissioners really want to know and what do we want to know. So you'll notice a lot of these are standard answers because they are checkbox. If there's any prioritization done, and then any additional information. And then there's the additional documents. And so you'll see if they uploaded something, and you'll go to this little drop down here, and then you can open a program budget. I won't open it right now just because it does take a second to open. And then the other section is the agency profile. And so this is really just talking about the agency. Again, it gives the contact information, a brief description of what the agency does. We do have a lot of newer agencies that haven't applied for funding in the past in this cycle. And so I could see more interest of like, I don't actually know what this agency does. Let me find out what the bigger need they need in our community, with their agency budget and their estimated numbers, the BIPOC percentage for leadership as well as board. And then again, there's the what is uploaded. And again, it's attached, forms attached, and then you can go to those. And then there's also an opportunity to switch it to a PDF view. I did, let's see if I can get to my dropdown. That's the one thing that I is always hard about. Okay, can you guys see the change in my screen or not? Okay, perfect. I didn't know if I was gonna have a leftless situation where it stayed on the last one. So this is, I just downloaded this to a PDF just so you guys could see what it looks like. We will also be providing PDF options because the format doesn't work great for some of the forms. So you can see it's all the similar content and information, all the same narrative. I'm going to scroll down to where the chart is. So sorry, it's a little blurry, at least on my end. So you can see here, this is the budget. So all of the information is here. So it's an upload. It's in a document you have to open if you're in the viewing portal. If you you have to download it to a PDF. And I would say it probably took about 2.5 minutes for it to download to the PDF. Well, as I said, we got an email that the PDFs are the draft PDFs are updated today. Or completed, and so we will all be reviewing those, and then we'll also share those on OneDrive like we did last cycle, if that's an interest for people. And then again, these are the service units. So this was again one of the drop down menus, and the residents served. So is there any questions?
Stop sharing. So you said that there's a place to take notes and things. Where do you take the notes and how does it, is it saved on that app?
It is. So one of the things that I was playing with this tool when I got home this evening, I realized I have a different view than we asked for because I didn't know we had gotten okay from the rubric. So I will share my screen again. So in here, there's the rating plus. So I have the version that actually uses the rubric. So I guess this is a question that we could, Leslie?
Yeah, sorry. I thought there was an option to not, to make comments outside of the rubric.
So there is, that's the question. Is there the form, the process that Alaric actually set us up with, what had the rubric? And I didn't realize that until I clicked on the rating tool. Because I wrote all my notes out about what I was reviewing earlier, and I was like, so when I click on it, right now it has the rubric, and there's an opportunity to add comments. In the read-only version, which I currently have you signed up for, there's actually just a box that has text, and that's what we used in the past. So my version looks a little bit different. I think that, let's say, would defer to you if that's what we want the commissioners still to be set up with what we have them. That is what they're set up with currently.
Yeah, there were some edits that were recommended that would be made. So while the rubric is fine, it was going to be with some edits. And so this version wouldn't work for us.
Okay. So Tim, to answer your question and my really long answer is that there is a spot that you will just click that says rating. And I think, no, it might say notes. And it's in the same spot as right there. It's a blue box. And you'll click on that, and it will come up with a text box. I know that you guys are very professional and very aware that everything that we do is public comment. But I do just want to remind everybody that anything that's written in here is public comment. Is public comment. So anybody could ask for it.
So last year, our last funding cycle, we had it all downloaded as PDFs into a OneDrive where we can like scribble on the iPad notes and things. And that was really helpful for me.
We can do that again. That's what I was saying. So the PDFs, there were 4 different staff people from other cities that had volunteered to transfer them all into PDFs. I got an email at like 4:45 as I was leaving the office that they completed it. And I haven't looked at it yet. I'm assuming Leslie hasn't either. So we just need to look through it and make sure that they're all formatted and all of the information is downloaded and correctly. And then I, either Leslie or myself, I'll probably volunteer to do it because I know Leslie has a lot on her plate. And I can upload that into the OneDrive in the similar format that what DD did last year. And so that will be another tool for you as well.
Okay. And that chicken scratch that we make on those OneDrive things aren't like public information.
Everything is public information.
Oh, even that chicken scratch stuff that I make. Okay, that's fine.
So it sounds like, am I hearing correctly, there's three options for commissioners. They can either review in the app, they can have a OneDrive PDF, or we can print them for them, or two, three options if they want to take advantage of more than one.
Gotcha. And just like my chicken scratch is on my printed copy, that will be public record as well. And so that is something that I would hold on to and not recycle.
So Leslie, is that something that you would want commissioners to submit to you?
Yeah. So when we're done with the application process, if people have asked to have printed out copies, they would return their binders to us, and then we would go through and save any that have written comments on them. Is anyone thinking that they'd like to have paper copies? I'm seeing yes from Ted, and I'm seeing yes from Angela, and I'm seeing a definitive no from Tim, and Jimmy might need to think about it.
Yeah, I need to think about it. I have to start working on it first to see how it
works. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, great. Well, we'll get... it will be easy to print out extra copies because we already know that we need. And then Angela, it will be easy delivery to you. And we'll make sure everyone gets theirs. So Jimmy, I'll reach out to you in a few days just to see what you're thinking. And I'll need to reach out to our other commissioners as well.
I had a question.
Yes.
So I saw that there was an option, so they get to fill out, the organizations fill out like how many of their staff members and the leadership positions are BIPOC. But is there a section that they talk about the populations that they serve, the demographics that way? Because I know we spoke about that before in a meeting. Or is that not?
They will there isn't a check the box.
Okay.
Option, but that is something that they'll discuss in the narrative. And then for agencies that we, for programs that we currently fund, we do have, would have their demographic information from last year that we will have a summary document that we'll be sharing with you as well.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? I just want to say, as staff, we're here as a resource. So, like, as you start doing this work, if you run into questions, please reach out to us. If you just change your mind, like, hey, this didn't work for me, reach out to us. You can also reach out to other commissioners, your partner in reviewing applications, to get support as well.
Yeah.
I had another question. What do you do? So let's say like I had a brother and he ran HopeLink, and he's the one that like I ended up getting application. Like, what do you do when you have a conflict of interest?
What a lovely moment for me to click to the next slide. Angela, I swear she's not a plant. Yeah, so what we're hoping that you will do before the next meeting is to read through the application summary document that I'll be sending to you tomorrow. And the first thing we want you to do is to identify exactly what you shared. My best friend created this organization, or my brother-in-law runs this organization. So you want to take a look for personal or professional conflicts of interest. And email that list to me. And then just as a reminder, and for since half of you are new, that first round of review has been kind of a yes, no, maybe. And instead of kind of reviewing each application and asking for a yes, no, maybe, what we're asking you to do is to kind of identify the programs that you are confident that the city needs to fund and kind of metaphorically set them aside, unless you have your pieces of paper where you're literally setting them aside. And then really think about those that you are like a maybe or a no. And if those are applications that are assigned to you, please take a closer look at them and be ready to discuss. If you have a lot of time and you want to take a closer look at all the ones that you say maybe or no, that's great. But we ask you to prioritize those ones that you're assigned to. If you look at them and the applications and you still have questions, reach out, you know, I'll probably go ahead and just collect them, and then Christy and Ozma will be splitting up and reaching out and getting answers to those questions. And that, just to let you know, Angela and Jimmy, this is something that is traditionally done throughout the process, is when there are follow-up questions, staff reaches out, and we're just trying to be as proactive as possible. And as soon as you have questions, let us know and we'll start collecting that information. So does this kind of summary for next steps before the next meeting, does this work? I'm seeing a head nod from Angela, who is new. I'm very curious for Tim and Ted how you're feeling about this, if this is any concerns or if it looks like it will work.
So Leslie, when you were describing this to me, it helped me when you kind of described what that would practically look like in the meeting. And so I think what I heard you say as an example is we would say, okay, let's look at the first five applications. Does anyone have a no or a maybe on one of these applications that we should discuss? So rather than saying application one, let's name it, let's describe it, yes, no, maybe. Because there's so many applications you were explaining to me, this would allow us to still be able to efficiently get through them without reading and naming everyone on the first round, which of course we will do on subsequent rounds. Is that, did I capture that correctly?
Yes, thank you. That I appreciate that. Yeah, so goal area one, shelter, outreach, and homelessness housing. So thank you.
And that actually sounds like a great idea, because in the previous funding cycle, we went through everything, it makes sense to do it that way.
Yeah.
So it does make sense. I'm just like, it's 136 applications versus 106. I mean, that's like a third more. That's like 130%, right? So,
I don't know if we had
2 weeks last time too, but I felt like we had more time or something. I don't know. Maybe
it seemed like more time last time.
Well, and if we don't get through everything, we're going to do our best. We're a little bit, because there's so many applications. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to split things up, have that short summary document that you could read through so you get an understanding of everyone, then pinpoint into what your applications that have been assigned. And that is not you'll do a deeper dive later on, so I just want to make sure that you're not needing to spend a half an hour on each one right now, but if you just at least take a closer look for those ones that you really question whether it would make sense for the city to fund.
So you are not asking that commissioners read all 136 applications in the next 2 weeks, just to make sure I'm hearing you correctly, right? You're going to send that spreadsheet that's a summary document.
Yep.
And if you see an application that you have questions on, that would be one that's like a no, maybe, I'm not sure I have questions. That would be one that in the next 2 weeks you would try to read that application completely. And so when do you want everyone to have read all the applications and have met with their partner?
You know what? That is an excellent question. And I think I was wondering if I do not have a definite, it would be in June, but I think we need, yeah, we need to figure out if that is going to be. So one thing we haven't discussed is, and I don't know how proactively people want to think about having additional meetings on the calendar. If you are hearing first meeting in June, reading all the applications and feeling the need to hyperventilate, do we need to add in an extra meeting? And so we're kind of doing more of a process through June.
Or could we map out which goal areas we would be discussing in June? So everybody could prioritize reading those, and those partners would know they need to meet before then.
Yeah.
And then, you know, similarly for the second meeting in June, if it's the balance of the goal areas, then that gives everybody till then to do their own reading plus those other partners to meet outside of that time. So some people might have about 4 weeks and some people might have about 6 to meet with their partners. Does that make sense? What do you think?
And we did actually divide up the goal area one. So all three teams have one section of it. So it doesn't feel like.
Except they agreed to start with goal 5, just for you to know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, goal 5 is split into two, and then another group has goal 4. So I think Leslie and I, maybe you and I could work on that tomorrow morning and setting some dates around that.
Yep.
Around kind of first round, and just to kind of like provide a little bit more context that is for the new people, is that the yes, no, maybe, when somebody is determined a no, then we don't visit that application anymore, or we haven't in the past. And so, but if it's a yes, it doesn't mean we're guaranteeing funding. It just means that we're going to continue conversation for it. And that we've done the yes, no, maybe, and then kind of the next step is the talking about kind of some preliminary numbers, and then the last step is figuring out how much we're actually going to fund.
We do. So when someone says no, and you say you take it, there's no vote on it, or
thank you. That's a great, that was not very well stated. So yeah. So if, let's say, Angela, you said no, I don't want to fund Christie's organization, then there would be conversation around that. And the commission would have a decision, and then it would be the chair would lead a vote on that.
Okay.
And in the past, it's been kind of, it's been consensus. So I think that's another decision that that
primarily consensus
like,
is possible. But most of the times it's consensus. I would say like 95% of the time it's consensus.
And it seems like there's traditionally not very many applications that are kind of set aside right away, is my understanding.
I feel this might be a generality, but just for context for those that are new, I feel like the no's have been more identifying organizations that might be a bit of a miss, like maybe they didn't actually serve many, if any, of our residents, or maybe they, that type of a thing. There's a lot more in the maybe category that just means we're not sure how this will fit in, but we keep talking about it. No, is it like this is just not in alignment.
I just want to say that I'm in favor of pre-planning these extra meetings because, I mean, I can't imagine not having extra meetings when we had extra meetings, even when we didn't have as many applications as we do now. So I think it helps me at least to make it more real instead of saying, you know, adding it onto the back end and then having additional missed expectations about what we're needing. I mean, you know, it just sets the expectation probably better for me, at least.
Okay.
Personally. So I don't know how the other commissioners feel about that, but at the very least, it would be better to plan ahead, so that most of the commissioners can be present, otherwise, if we're saying, oh, we need an extra meeting, and then a lot of commissioners cannot make it, that's also not going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's also a time of year, like me with kids, there's a lot going on, so it helps to have those planned out in advance.
So in the past, we've done one extra meeting in June and up to two in July. Would we want to get all of those on the calendar then? Is that what I'm hearing? Okay, great. So I think, oh, go ahead.
I would, Christine, I also just would be curious to hear people's preference for the extra meeting, two extra meetings in July. I wonder if we want to proactively have two extra meetings in June with these extra applications, if we want to just, and then be in a position to maybe cancel that final one in July versus feel, you know, seeming like we're in the need, oh no, we're going to have to go into August, which I imagine we'd all like to not do, but I just.
Yeah, I as Commissioner Ma speaking again, do we have our person? Anyways, I personally would prefer an extra meeting, even end of May, actually, to some extent. And then in June, yeah, two in June is fine. Because there's, when we have more meetings too, there has been, I think last time, I think I was chair the last time we went through the funding, and I tried to keep it on time, but inevitably sometimes we go out, like, you know, past our 8 o'clock time. So if we have extra meetings, it's more likely that we won't go past the time, you know, that again, this is my personal viewpoint. And so, I would say maybe even the extra meeting in May, two in June, one in July if needed. Load it more heavy in the early beginning, because a lot of conversations do happen, and sometimes if we even meet, like, when we have like a skip, like 2 weeks and then another's in 1 week, it's a little bit disjointed too. I don't know how the other commissioners feel.
Ted, you're muted.
I agree. I'd rather have extra meetings in May and June and possibly do less in July, just from a purely selfish reason. I don't have my kids in August, so anytime that we go anywhere is in July. So plus, like Tim said, it does help to stay consistent with those meetings, and when you skip time, you do tend to fall behind or lose information.
Well, and to that point, with the yes, no, maybe, and just is it to get through that in one meeting, we could do May 24. So we have our next meeting is May 17. If we do a next, the following meeting just a week later, then we'll be sure to have that round one kind of taken care of and complete going into June. I would have said May 31st, but it gets a little complicated because of Memorial Day and we can't meet on a Tuesday. And so just wondering calendar wise how that would work. And Tony, what do you think about that?
I like the loaded at the front because you can always cancel later. So I totally think that makes sense from a planning perspective. If there's variables in which dates, which there might not be when I'm looking at the calendar, because I agree, probably not on Memorial Day weekend, subsequent week. So if there are any variabilities, maybe a doodle poll. But if there's really not, then I just say front loaded and off we go.
Okay. If there's anyone here who would like to, in June, say this Tuesday is really, please don't do it. Otherwise, we will plan accordingly. And
are you able to add time to your meetings, or they always have to be 2 hours?
They have gone over. So yes, they can go long.
It has to be in motion and it has to be voted on. I think when we were in person during funding season, it was unfortunately pretty common for them to go long. I think the funding round 2 years ago, we were all just becoming accustomed to staring at screens for long times, and we could not sustain longer than 2 hours. Who knows? Maybe we've stretched, and we'll be able to do that. Or maybe we'll be back in person.
Tim, did I hear an interest that you'd rather have more meetings than have them not go longer than 2 hours?
Not an interest necessarily, but more of a benefit for having more meetings potentially if people don't want to have such long meetings, which I heard was an interest from some people not to have meetings go too long.
So I agree with Tim. We should stay in 2 hours and we can have extra meeting. And it gives a break.
And I would say the work in the small group is really allows for the process to go smoother and for some of those conversations and questions to arise before the meeting, and then staff can gather those answers.
And staff, we are happy to attend those pair meetings if you'd like one of us to be there to, you know, take some of those question notes directly, or so please, you do not need us to be there, but we are happy to participate if you would like us to.
And I will also put out there that, and Tony, tell me if this isn't okay, but if somebody does not have access to Teams or Zoom, could we set up a meeting for them? Yeah, okay, great. I just want to make sure that that was okay.
Yeah, because staff have offered to attend those meetings anyway, right?
Yeah, but let's say they wanted to have a meeting and not have a staff person there, if we could schedule a Teams meeting for them.
A Teams meeting, you don't have to admit somebody, right?
No.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. you could do that, okay. For sure. And a free Zoom license, if they can meet up to 40 minutes, and then they could hang up and call each other back.
And everybody might have access to it now that we've been remote for 2 years in a lot of our profession.
Yeah. But good point. Yes, we could do that. We could set up a Teams meeting.
Okay. Could you also send, I don't know, Jimmy's contact information, preferred contact information to be able to facilitate or coordinate meetings. Could you also just share with the commission partner groups the preferred contact methods to be able to coordinate those meetings?
Yes, we'll do. And you all need updated roster. I'm trying to remember if I sent the updated roster to you all or not yet. So need to do that. The final, I won't put the slide up. I'll just share what was on there, was just Chad and Tim, as folks who have gone through this process before, if there was any learnings, any tips that you had that you wanted to share as Angela and Jimmy enter this process for the first time. If you would have, is there anything you wish you would have known the first time you reviewed applications?
Stay ahead of the process. There's a lot more reading than you think there's going to be. And to really understand the logistics of the programs that you're reading and reviewing. Invariably, other commissioners point out things that blindside you. It's like, oh my God, how did I miss that? So yeah, really paying attention and staying ahead of it.
Yeah, I agree with Ted. It's not something that you can just read all at once and like cram. Well, maybe I couldn't. So, I mean, everybody has different abilities to do what that. But I don't recommend it. And there's various highlights that you're looking for. I think if we're using the rubric I actually think that highlights a lot of points for you to look into when you're looking at reading the applications. Admittedly, some of the application answers end up being very similar if they have, because it's like application speak, you know, when they answer certain things. So you kind of like see the same thing. So it does help to kind of have an idea in your head of what you're looking for when you're reading the application. So you're highlighting topic points or thesis sentences, or, you know, like, oh, okay, this is the main thing is read and things like that. It does help to get through the applications a little bit better. So what I would recommend is, like I said, read a group of them and spread it out versus like doing it all at once. And two is like have certain things that you're looking for already in your head before you read the rubric that you're looking out for. And just I think the rubric is a good way to do it so that you're not it's been templated as an equity rubric, so you're not biased into looking into the things that you think are important. And then the needs update also is something that good to look at too, as something that you're highlighting as well. And everybody does have a different perspective and bias, like the equity training says. So when we do share about points that we look into, inevitably you're going to see people highlight different things is of applications that are potentially more important or eye-catching to that person than the other, which is fine.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions?
Leslie, would you talk a little bit about the additional summary tool you're planning on sending out in the future?
Sure. So we will be, thank you. So we'll be providing, I mentioned it earlier, some of the demographic information. We also have summary document for the service unit, for agencies that have been funded in the past, looking to see if they've met their goals and have kept up with their contracted goals. So we'll have that information. And then as I suggested, we have staff who are making sure that they have agencies have turned in their financial review or their audit. If there's been any findings, do they have a management letter? And then making sure that they're registered with the state in whatever capacity they are, whether they're a nonprofit or a different type of entity. And so we'll do all that due diligence work for you and provide summary spreadsheets for you. So you'll be able to take a look at that. And then you can then use that summary document to ask any follow-up questions that you have. So we're trying to do some quick look for you to be able to quickly look an overview and then be able to highlight what you want to ask for. Is there anything else? Did I catch everything, Christy?
Mm-hmm. I think the only thing to highlight is that we're doing this in place of our staff reviews. So we will not be doing our typical staff reviews, which had this information broke out by agency. We felt like it was a little bit easier to read and to be able to kind of sort through and compare having all of the data for all of the agencies within one spreadsheet, for all of the previously funded agencies as far as the demographics and the outcomes go.
And one of the reasons why that information is not available for agencies that haven't been funded is that was an equity step that we took a couple cycles ago, was to say you do not need to turn in a demographic sheet, demographics for your clients, not knowing if you're going to get funded or not, that was not really fair on our part to ask for something like that. And so we have it for agencies who are currently funded because they're contracted to provide that information, but we didn't want to add, while it's great to have that information, we're really kind of weighing that with what's fair to ask people to provide when they don't know if they're going to get any funding or not. And we certainly can't promise any.
What's the point of the question asking about the BIPOC as staffing? What do you do with that information?
The previous interest or value with that in certain people's perspective is that the people who are BIPOC or the people who are underrepresented best serve and understand what their own community needs. So if the staff is BIPOC, they would be able to better serve their underrepresented communities that they're a part of. That's been the logic of looking at that. And I'm sure Tony looks like she wants to fill in some gaps for there.
No, sorry, that was very rude. It kept looking like I was trying to interrupt you, and I was not. But just I wanted to clarify, even though you don't have the demographic breakouts, they will still describe in the narrative. And so then that's the reason to ask about the staff, even though it's not a data point to data point, it's a description to a description that we primarily serve this community and our staff looks like this to reflect it.
And if there isn't that in the narrative and you have a follow-up question, let us know and we will reach out and ask.
I will say we are more than happy to ask questions and agencies are more than happy to answer them. However, think about, is this going to change my, if I would provide funding or not, because our providers are very busy, so we don't want to bombard every provider with 15 questions. We typically do have a few questions for the majority of the agencies, so please do ask questions if it is clarifying and it's needed for information. But there, during some of our past conversations, who are like, actually, that was just like a curious, like, I would still would fund this or I wouldn't fund this agency. So.
And we are we're trying to collaborate. We had our funders meeting this morning and we spoke about trying to collaborate and coordinate asking questions. So there wasn't, you know, five cities asking agencies the same questions. And so that's another, the sooner we get those questions too, the more helpful, so we can coordinate that effort as well. Great. Anything else?
I just have one more really random thing that we've talked about in the past, but just a reminder, we are down one commissioner. So attendance is very important because we cannot have a meeting if we don't have a quorum. And it's important to have every voice of all of our commissioners as we go through the funding cycle, because there are times where I'm sure Ted and Tim could talk if they missed a meeting where decisions were made and you weren't part of the conversation and you have some strong opinions about it. We all get sick. We all have lives. Like, there may be a time you can't attend a meeting, but to try to prioritize as much as possible. This is the exciting time of the work. It's the hard work, but also the exciting time.
Yeah, my bad in March. Sorry about that. It's just like, oh my God, I'm sorry. But I mean, I'm okay with going with whatever the commission decided. That thing that I said, I was just like, oh, okay. But whatever the commission decided, I'm good.
Yeah. I wasn't referring to that. I was just talking about the funding cycle.
Yeah, I know, I know.
You're going to make it up, Tim. There's going to be extra meetings. So.
I know. I have to now. Okay. Leslie, is that business done?
Yes.
Old
Unless
business?
There are no other questions.
Any questions? Further last questions to staff, Leslie? Okay. Moving on to our next item in the agenda is old business. Does staff have any old business to review? Any new business? Awesome. And no oral communications that came through last minute? Perfect. Motion to adjourn.
Ed Mansfield, so moved.
Commissioner Phan, seconds.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Nope. All right. We're adjourned. Thanks all.